Anybody ever heard somebody say, you know, they're stubborn like a bulldog? Why would they say that? Because a bulldog has a tenacity. When it grabs hold of something, it don't turn it loose. You know, when you say that about a person, it means that they have a tenacity that it doesn't matter what they face, they're gonna make it go. They're gonna make it happen. And sometimes that's what you need if you're gonna be successful in life or in the spiritual area. You just gotta have that bulldog tenacity, they call it. You know, some people, they let go of stuff too quickly. You know, if everything doesn't work out just right, I mean, they let job opportunities, they let jobs go, they let their faith in God go, and all kinds of stuff. But we got, if we're going to make it, we got to hold fast. And if you want a title for this, it's called Hold Fast to These Things. In Revelation 2:24, John is writing, and he had written to the church at Thyatira, but now he says in verse 24, "Now I say to the rest of you in Thyatira, as many as do not have this doctrine, who have not known the depths of Satan, as they say, I will put on you no other burden, but hold fast what you have until I come. Now, and to he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give great power over the nations." Now, in the NLT says it a little better, "But I also have a message for the rest of you in Thyatira who have not followed this false teaching, deeper truths as they call them, depths of Satan actually. I will ask nothing more of you except to hold tightly to what you have until I come. To all who are victorious, who obey me to the very end, to them I will give authority over all the nations." Here we see, as John is writing to the church there, he is telling them to hold fast to what they have. Other translations say, New Century, "Only continue your loyalty until I come." Good News Translation, "You must hold firmly to what you have." He is simply telling these people at Thyatira that they need to hold fast to that they already know and have. Now, according to Strong's Concordance, the Greek meaning of hold fast is to use strength, to seize or retain, to keep, to lay hand on, obtain or retain. Now we understand that God wants us to use every effort that we have to seize, to lay hold on, to obtain or to retain what we already have. You know, I'm told that the reason, and this is true, that a bulldog's nose slants backwards is so that when it gets a hold of something with its mouth, it can still breathe and not let go. I don't know if you know, I had what they call a Brindle bulldog. I don't know what that was or what kind. I was just in the first grade, and my grandpa, mom's dad, papa, he bought me Mickey. Now Mickey, if he got a hold of something, you couldn't take it away from him. I don't care if you beat him, he wouldn't turn it loose. You know, that's the kind of tenacity that we have to have in the spiritual if we're going to retain what we know concerning the Word of God, because the enemy is trying to take it away from us. But if you want to be successful in life, you got to also have that kind of tenacity. You know, on Wednesday night, I just like to talk to you, you know, about both sides, the natural and the spiritual. You know, Winston Churchill, some of you don't know who he was, but he's considered probably the greatest 20th century statesman that Britain ever had. And he was the prime minister during World War II. And through his leadership, they were able to overcome. But he, if you study Winston Churchill, you'll find out that he is known for his bulldog tenacity. And it was his courageous bulldog type leadership during World War II that got them through. He had this never give up attitude. And actually, I guess this was revealed probably from one of his most well-known speeches, which was given at the school he attended as a boy, the Harrow School just outside central London on October 29, 1941. He said, part of the speech said, "Never give in, never, 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 in nothing, great or small, large or petty, never give in except to the convictions of honor and good sense." That's a pretty good statement right there. See, it's important in the midst of pursuing the opportunities that's presented to us that we hold fast to the things we already know. You know, some people are always chasing after some new doctrine, something new. Some people, you know, in the world, they call it chasing the rainbow and thinking that it's more valuable than what they have, and they end up with nothing. Come on now. It's the truth. You know, some people fail to see the value in what they already have. You know, that's what happened to Esau. You remember he come in from hunting. He was hungry and tired. And Jacob was cooking some good food. And so old Jacob said, "Okay, Esau, you want some of this food? I'll trade you. I'll trade you. I'll give you food. You trade me your birthright." He did it, and he regretted it ever since. You know, somebody said, "Well, what does that mean?" Well, that means that actually the older son was to receive the birthright. He would get more than the rest of them, and he also would become the head of the tribe or the family clan. And so Jacob, and that's what Jacob means, deceiver. He deceived him and stole his birthright. But remember, if you read there in the Word of God, you'll find out that Jacob had a wrestling match with an angelic emissary, and his name was changed from deceiver to Israel. See? Y'all all know that, of course. I just thought I'd tell you anyway. Now, as you study this "hold fast," this phrase, in the New Testament, it's primarily used in four locations or four revelations, maybe you would say. And I want to look at these tonight. These are the four areas that believers should be holding fast to instead of chasing after ever latest religious fad that comes down the pike. In the book, All Things Are Possible, and some of you that were Rhema students years ago, y'all had a course in which this was your textbook. How many of you were here had that? And in it, it had everybody. And actually, Dr. Harrell, and I sat with Dad when he was interviewed with Dr. Harrell. He was a history professor at the University of Alabama in Birmingham. And he realized that nobody was charting the history of the charismatic renewal. And so he went and studied all these guys and wrote the book. And the one thing he said about Dad in the book, he said, "Kenneth Hagin has not deviated one time from what he started teaching and preaching when he was raised off the dead of affliction in 1933. And he said, he's been the same ever since. You know, some people are always looking for a shortcut in life and also with the things of God. I found out sometimes a shortcut becomes a long cut. You know, years and years and years ago, about 1967, I guess it was, we were I was associate pastor and my father-in-law down in Garland, Texas. And so they were having, our denomination that we were part of, were having a big conference up in Springfield. So we, in the, all of us in the car, four of us, Mom, Dad, Tipton, me and Lynette, I was driving, and we came up here to Tulsa and spent the night at my mom and dad's house. And then we got up the next morning. Dad fixed breakfast. Some of you that have been around his house always know he always was fixing breakfast. That was one of the things he always did. I mean, when I was in school there, that last church down there, Van, he would get up and he would fix the breakfast. We would get ready for school. Mom would get herself ready, make up the beds. And then we would eat breakfast. We'd read the word. And then we'd go off to school. Then he would go get ready and she would clean up the kitchen. And they would say, now we're ready for the day to do whatever comes our way and to minister to people. So I got up and I said, well, I think there's a better way. And so I tried to wiggle out through here. And I ended up spending 3 hours more than we should have done trying to wiggle my way through to Interstate 44 by going the back way. And my shortcut become a long cut. And they never let me forget. As long as they live, they never let me forget it. My wife still has never let me forget it. But let me tell you, a shortcut is not always the right way to go. You know, Paul instructs us to rightly divide the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15, most of you know it. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If the Bible tells us to rightly divide the word, then it is possible that we can also wrongly divide the word. That means we need to learn to hold fast to what we have and let junk go in one ear and out the other one. Believers must put a high priority on holding fast to solid, uncorrupt, and wholesome doctrine that is according to the whole counsel of the Scripture. You know, holding on to sound words will help us to get through our life in the natural and help us to get through our life spiritually. Now, Paul also instructs us to hold fast to that which is good. In 1 Thessalonians 5:21, test all things, hold fast to that is good. Now the NLT says, but test everything that is said, hold on to what is good. Now if you'll go back up there and you start reading in 16, he says, rejoice evermore. 16. 17, pray without ceasing. 18, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In 19, quench not the spirit. In 20, despise not prophesying. And then he comes to verse 21. Test all things, hold fast to that is good. He's even telling you that in these things, if somebody is talking contrary, test it, make sure it's good. Hold fast to what you know is good. You know, we've got to be open to what the Spirit of God is leading us and telling us, and not blindly swallow everything that somebody says. You know, some people are just naive to think that everything that everybody's saying on Christian television is correct. It's not. A large majority of it is not even doctrinally sound. Now, I'm on Christian television. I'm not against it, but I'm going to tell you what. You've got to learn how to hold on to that that is good and let the rest of it go. You know, Some people make no effort. If some minister or some preacher says it without even questioning it, without even checking it with the Word of God, they swallow it hook, line, and sinker. You know, we need to make an effort to hold fast that is good. What is scripturally good? And the you know, people mean well, but you've got to realize. I mean, even sometimes I'm listening to a song and I say, that's not even scripturally correct. But sometimes they are trying to make it rhyme, so they put something else in there and it actually changes the real meaning scripturally. When I went off to Bible college, my dad told me, he said, son, they're going to teach you all kinds of things. Some of them are in line with the Word of God and some of them are not. He said, make sure, learn what you got to learn to pass the test and then forget it. He had a saying that he always said many, many times, learn how to eat the hay and spit out the sticks and stuff. Most people in this day and age don't even know, understand what that means. But if you ever been in a corral or barnyard, you throw, now I don't know what it is now with them round bales, but them old, those old square, well, rectangular bales, I guess you'd call them. When that baler comes through there raking that grass up and baling it, and that's where you get baling wire from, because it have two wires around it. It would pick up everything, rocks, sticks, glass, whatever. But you could break that apart and spread it out there and break it out. Them cows, horses, they come up there, they start eating it. And you'd go out there afterwards and you'd have to take a rake and a scoop shovel and get up all of the sticks and everything, because they'd leave it alone. You know, that's what some people need to do with some of these preachers that are preaching. You need to eat what you can and leave the rest of it alone. There are many people that have many good things to say in one subject, but if you get to following them, what they say in some other subjects is way off base. And it gets people in trouble. We have to learn to separate it and hold fast to that is good. Now, as you get on into this, we go to the writer of the Hebrews. And he tells us to hold fast to our confidence. Okay? Remember, I was telling you, in studying this phrase, hold fast, in the New Testament, that I see four revelations or four areas that we're told to hold fast in. Hebrews 3:6. But Christ as the Son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. Now the NLT says it, but Christ as the Son is in charge of God's entire house, and we are God's house. If we keep our courage and remain confident in our hope in Christ. Here it's talking about confidence. Confidence. According to Strong's, again, confidence is outspokenness, frankness, bluntness, assurance, boldness of speech. We hold fast to our confidence of what we have in Christ, our Redeemer, Christ our Savior, Christ our Healer, Christ everything. We hold fast to that. I know sometimes in the generation that we're living in, they began to try to minimize Christ. and what he is and what he can do. But listen, you got to hold fast to that you know. We have to hold fast to the fact of the redemptive work that he has done on the cross for our benefit. He has redeemed us so that we can have the good life. He said in John 10:10, the thief come to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Have a good life. If you listen to some people, they want you to live on barely get a wrong street down right next door to Grumble Alley at the corner of 33rd and Gone Gone Street. I'm serious. That's what some people, but that's not what the Bible teaches. If you're not careful, you listen to some of these, and I heard somebody on the radio the other day saying something, and I thought, that's contrary to the word. He was saying, well, now you know, you got to be willing just to live in whatever financial state that you find yourself in, that the Lord has put you in. I thought, my Lord, man, God don't put you there. God wants you to have a good life. Now, sometimes we put our own self there by making silly and stupid decisions. If you've done that, go get Craig's book, Don't Be Stupid. Craig has a funny way of looking at scripture a little bit different than all the rest of us. And then one other preacher told me, I said that one time, he said, yeah, and you do too. But, you know, sometimes I see things in a scripture that nobody else sees. But that's okay. If it's in line with the word, it's fine. How many of you have read a scripture over and over again, and then you read it again, and all of a sudden you see something in it you've never seen before? That's what the Holy Spirit helps us to do. That's why he helps ministers to see things differently. But when they're teaching it, make sure it's lining up with the whole counsel of the Word of God and not just one little portion. And then make sure that they're not taking a scripture and making it say, back up their doctrine without other scriptures. See, you can take one scripture and prove anything. Yeah, I'm serious. I can take the word of God and prove that you ought to hang yourself. It said, Judas hung himself, go thou and do likewise. That's scripture. Now, I may be putting two together, but that's what people do sometimes. They put different scriptures together so that it lines up with what they want it to line up with. No, make sure that it's the whole counsel of God. And hold fast. See, many people have lost confidence because somebody began to teach something that wasn't in line with the word of God, and then things go wrong for them, and now they lose their whole confidence in God and the word of God. See, we need to hold our confidence, hold fast to the truth of the word. In the day and age that we're living in, and everything that's coming against the church and again in our society that's coming against Christians, we're going to have to make up our mind. Are we going to hold fast to the truths of God's word? Or are we going to back down? I have confidence in God. Somebody say, well, I don't know. Well, God will take care of me. I don't know. Somebody say, well, how do you know? I don't know how, but I've seen him take care of people in the word of God. And if he took care of them, he'll take care of us. If you don't compromise, hold fast to the truth that you know. Isn't that what John told there in Revelation? Isn't that what he said? Hold fast to what you have till I come. That's what we've got to do. We've got to make up our mind that we're going to hold fast to the truths of God's word no matter what comes or what doesn't come. No matter what happens or what doesn't happen. I mean, I tell people all the time, God is still God. I don't care what happens or what doesn't happen. God is still God. And unless you have that kind of confidence and that kind of faith, you're going to be wavering all the time. And James said, anybody that was wavering, they couldn't expect to get anything. Come on now. Okay. Now let's compare Hebrews 10:35 with Hebrews 3:6 here. Let's compare. And therefore do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Now let's read it from the NLT. So don't throw away this great confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. Patient endurance is what you need now, so you will continue to do God's will, and then you will receive all that he has promised. Now right here, you lose the people right here when they start talking about patience and endurance. You lose people right there. They don't want to be patient, and they don't want to endure. They want it now. This is a now generation. You know why they started having drive-thrus? Because people were impatient. And so they're trying to make it easier for them. But I'm going to say something now. I guess I might get myself in trouble and say it anyway. They have tried to make it easy for people to come to church. Used to, people come to church because that's when church was. But now you got to have church at all different times and different... Well, shut up, Hagin. Okay. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I read something, it's been a while back now, and it says that this one man, he was thinking about starting a drive-through church. Drive by and get a one-minute sermon and then go on. And then you can say, well, I had my sermon today. I don't think that'd work. I mean, some people might buy it. You know, I believe the way people are today, I believe if you started bottling water and called it gluten-free, people would buy it. Come on now. And I bring that in to say, we need to be careful about in our spiritual life about what people are putting out and make sure it's just not some frothy something, but that doesn't even line up with the Word of God. Hello? See, hold your confidence. The devil will use many, many things to rob you of your confidence. We're instructed to hold fast with our confidence. If we do, it will bring great reward. Am I right or wrong? Now, let's go to this other one, hold fast. The Hebrew writer writes this, hold fast to our confession of faith. Let us hold fast, Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. NLT said, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Then let's compare this with Hebrews 4:14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. That's the New King James. Now the NLT says, so then since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. And then, of course, 2 Corinthians 4:13 tells us that we have the same spirit of faith, so we therefore we believe and we speak. Hold fast to our confession of faith. Mark 11:23 says, if you believe and speak, you'll have. Right? I like the Johnson paraphrase in this. He says, truly, anyone who speaks to that mountain yonder saying, dump yourself in the lake. Now, here's what I like. And does not become separated from the statement he makes, that person will actualize his statement. Does not become separated. What do you mean? Does not become separated from the word of God that you have spoken to your situation. Hold fast to that confession. Keep that confession coming. Never change what you say. No matter what you see, what you feel, what somebody tells you, never change your confession. Hold fast to your confession. Maintain that confession. Keep on speaking the word. You there? Hold fast to your confession of faith until what? Until you see it come to pass. Hold fast. Say it, hold fast. I've just taken a few moments to remind you some things from the Word of God that we are told to hold fast to. And I want to go back to Revelation 2:25, but hold fast what you have till I come. What we already have. Too many people are searching for a new revelation. Thank God for a new revelation when it comes, but don't go searching for it. We have to have confidence that when we make our confession of faith, that it will happen. Hold fast these things. Don't let them get away from you. Don't let anybody say, well, don't look like it's happening. Maybe you better change. No, hold fast. Hold fast. Until when? Tomorrow? 2 days? 2 weeks? Hold fast to that we have and know until what? Until he comes. Anybody get anything out of this tonight? I just did a little exhortation there just to remind you of some things you already know, but you know, you look at that, you probably read that many times in all those scriptures, hold fast, hold fast. I just saw it there in a little different light. That help anybody? Yes. Heavenly Father, help us all to hold fast to the confession of our faith. Hold fast to all of these things that you've told us to hold fast to. Help us to do that so that we will receive all that you have for us and all the blessings that you have for us in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Everybody stand up. Turn to your neighbor and say, hold fast. That might be a little phrase that you might want to write down somewhere and look at it every once in a while to remind you to hold fast. Amen.